You're listening to the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show, your daily podcast on the National Football League, powered by the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. We're talking AFC South today, 2021 NFL Draft. How did the Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts, Jacksonville Jaguars, and Tennessee Titans come out of the draft? Did they improve? Did they get better? Favorite picks, least favorite picks, as we've been doing with every division. AFC South today at BD Peacock on Twitter, at Williamson NFL. If you have any questions for us, hit us next week. And by the way, programming note, there will be no show Monday. I know
Yes. You're
so used to us doing five shows every single week, even throughout the offseason. We're going to have one day off here Monday. Both of us have things going on, so not going to happen Monday show. But Tuesday, we should probably come back and make up for it with maybe a full mailbag show and then finish up the rest of the South and the East next week, and we'll be done looking at the NFL draft. We can look at past drafts. We can start looking at NFL players. Matt, I know you have some stuff on the horizon as well coming at Pro Football Network.
Yeah, they just gave me the assignment. I actually just turned it in last night. I'll email it to you before we're done here. I'm going to do a top 25 list at every position. So running backs is in the books. I'm not sure when it'll go live on Pro Football Network, but check that out. I'll be retweeting it, but I'm going to be doing every position. That'll be keeping me busy for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, that'll be fun to dive into those, and I can dissect it and tell you where you went wrong with those
rankings
over the next few weeks. And I'm sure no shortage of news on major quarterbacks around the league that could be changing teams, that could be not playing, that could be playing. We'll find out what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. That will not end. And it doesn't look like the Deshaun Watson situation is going to end anytime soon. I have no idea what to think about that, and it seems like the Texans don't either, and they didn't have a draft pick until round three to try to do something about it and ended up selecting with their first pick Davis Mills, the quarterback from Stanford. If you were in charge of the Texans, how do you even attack this offseason? I mean, this is one of the worst situations you could have run into and not seen it coming at all if you are the brand new Texans GM.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a little. I mean, the Watson situation aside, nobody could have seen that coming. I mean, I think that they, you know, if they were going to trade him, at least they would have had a bevy of picks to start over, you know, or you would have, you'd either have one or the other. You'd have Deshaun Watson and probably a pretty good offense. They had a good offense last year, or, you know, with Watson behind center, a good line, throwing to Brandon Cooks and, you know, go from there. Or you'd have a bunch of picks that used to be Deshaun Watson. Well, right now you have neither. I assume you'll end up with one or the other in time. I think it'll be picks, but it won't be as many as it would have been pre, you know, off the field stuff. I have no take on the off the field stuff, but I do think that this staff had no cards in their hand except Watson. You know, I mean, they sat down at the poker table with one card and then that card fell on the floor. You know what I mean? Like, they have nothing else in their hand. So I do think what they're doing to get at least put some perspective on it, because it's easy to say this team's a laughing stock, they shouldn't even be in the league, and I'm not disputing that, but I'm just saying this is what I think the new staff has done. They've come in and signed 30 guys, you know, like to minimum type deals. And if you recall, Belichick did a similar thing when he got to New England. Nobody remembers these things because it was a million years ago, but he did a similar thing. And basically what he's doing, or what they're doing in Houston, is starting over. Get everybody out the door, including the, you know, including guys like J.J. Watt, who are part of the old culture. Get everyone out the door and just create competition. You know, we're going to have a lot of people chasing, fighting for their careers and trying to create playing time. And maybe five of those 30 guys will be long-term answers for us. The others, who cares? We have nothing invested in them. Kick them out the door, bring in 30 more. You know, I mean, I think that's the logic. But unfortunately, you had no draft picks this year either, which, again, is not this staff's issue. I mean, this is making up for faults from before.
Right. And when it comes to 2022, probably the odds-on favorite, and if you're looking at the betonline.ag over-unders for win totals, I think they're at 4, which is the lowest in the NFL, and they would have to be the odds-on favorite to have the number one pick in the draft next year. And maybe that's where they can figure out their quarterback position. Maybe use that as a trade-down chip and add a whole bunch more picks and then really get that rebuild into warp speed. But as far as their actual draft picks this year, I kind of like some of them. I mean, they didn't do terrible for having 2/3, 2/5, and a 6th.
I agree. And I like Davis Mills. But here's my problem with the pick is, okay, let's say you put him in there and he does okay. And to your earlier point, you still win three or four games and you're still picking, even at best, you win five or six and you're still picking in the top three, four, whatever. Was Mills good enough on a five-win season for you not to draft a quarterback? And if you throw him in now, he really doesn't have a ton of chance to succeed either. I mean, the line's okay, but the line's okay when Deshaun Watson's your quarterback. You know, David Johnson's okay when Deshaun Watson's your quarterback. Brandon Cooks and now Nico Collins are okay for a stud quarterback, not a rookie who's learning. So did they draft a long-term backup? I mean, maybe they catch lightning in a bottle and this guy's great and they got their quarterback on the cheap, but they're not putting him in any chance to succeed.
Yeah, that's tough because you want to build something around a quarterback, but they also need bodies at the position. And if they thought, okay, well, this is the last guy we see in this class that he can be a solid backup for a long time as a third round pick, and it's not a big deal if he's just a backup and holds a clipboard. But there's some traits there, and maybe he could be a guy who starts for a little bit. And is it worse a stopgap for us until we do figure out who the quarterback of the future is if it's not going to be Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, and I guess if he has a respectable rookie year, they still have the first pick in the draft. They take Rattler or whoever the next dude is. They could trade Mills to the Steelers or Saints or somebody too. You know, I mean, I guess he's not, you know, lost all value if he plays well this year, despite difficult situations.
By the way, I don't want to derail this conversation, but I saw Bill Barnwell of ESPN throw a three-team trade out there that ended up with the Pittsburgh Steelers getting
Tua.
Did you see that one? The Steelers end up with Tua. And
it costs them their first next year.
Yes, so next year's first, they end up with Tua, and that was the deal that got and their first actually goes to Green Bay. Green Bay gives Aaron Rodgers to the Dolphins. The Dolphins send a bunch of picks also to Green Bay. What are your thoughts on that?
I guess that could work for Deshaun Watson this offseason, too.
That's true.
If Watson gets cleared, you know. I don't want to derail to the Steelers because I know I do that way too often. I think next year's the Steeler quarterback conversation, not this year. But those type of deals make sense. I mean, guys like Tua and Mills, maybe Daniel Jones, if they don't have great years, they're going to be somebody else is going to want them in a Sam Darnold-like manner.
Mm-hmm. Or if there's some big injury, maybe this summer something can come to a head. And Aaron Rodgers moves, and who knows, you know, Jimmy G could be a part of that at some point in the next 12 months. There's still potential for quarterback movement out there, which is pretty nuts because usually that's not the case after the draft. Everyone's pretty well locked in.
It's funny. I am going to bring it back to the Steelers, which I said I'm not going to do. But I've been saying this on the air because they're going to be the most quarterback needy team or one of this offseason. And I've been telling Steeler fans, next year's quarterback could be your first-round pick. It might be Haskins. It might be Rudolph. It might be Andy Dalton. It might be a Tua or a Daniel Jones who stubs his toe yet again. It might be Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, or Deshaun Watson. Like, it used to be, boy, where am I going to find my quarterback? Now, my point is, this offseason, just like the last two offseasons, there's going to be 10, 12, 15 suitable guys, you know, different shapes and sizes and prices and ages and talents.
It's never been easier to find a replacement-level starting quarterback in the NFL. But teams are still, you know, trying really hard and scratching a claw to get that top half of the league starter, that top 10, top five starter is still insanely valuable, even though it's easier to find starter 16 through 32. To finish up the conversation about the Houston
But to that point, I think the state of quarterbacking is better than ever, that you can get a Derek Carr, you know, a starter in the 70s, the 80s, whatever. I mean, he's a good player, but that doesn't mean the guy across the sidelines isn't better than yours, you know, just because you have acceptable guys. There used to be not enough acceptable guys. Now there's enough acceptable guys, but that doesn't mean you can beat Mahomes.
And we're seeing the traits of quarterbacks just being like off the charts, height, weight, speed, and ability to run and arm talent. Like, so maybe even a golden age of just pure athletes at the quarterback position is happening right now, and that's going to be fun to watch. Let's finish up this Texans conversation, though, really quick, and I like what they did with their next two picks after Davis Mills. Nico Collins, wide receiver out of Michigan, height, weight, speed guy, just, you know, take a chance on a third round guy. Maybe he becomes a dude. You know, he's not going to be DK Metcalf necessarily, but I think I saw some comps out there where it's like, well, he's got a lot of traits. Let's see what you get with a wide receiver like that. And then Brevin Jordan, what am I missing here? How the heck was he still available in the fifth round?
Yeah, didn't test phenomenally well. Not a blocker, a little bit short-armed for, you know, pure receiving tight end. But they've been looking for a tight end for a while. I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if he starts catching passes immediately there and is a factor. I think they traded up for Nico Collins. That's my only complaint because they just can't afford to trade up for anybody. Yeah. But Brandon Cook's a free agent after the year. Nico Collins overcame some tough situations and or at least dealt with some tough situations in Michigan. He could be their number one next year.
6'4", 215. He's got top-end speed. He's got a lot of athletic ability. So a ball of clay to work with there. And I think Brevin Jordan's going to work himself out at least a pass-catching, move tight end career that's going to be pretty valuable. So with what they were given, not a bad job, I think, in Nick Caserio's first draft for the Texans.
I mean, I don't know what – again, they didn't have any cards.
Right, yeah. What else could you have hoped for there? All right. Indianapolis Colts, Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans coming up. Now that the NFL draft is over, you can go find win totals at betonline.ag. How did teams improve? Do you think a certain team's chances to win the Super Bowl next year have changed? Win some money on it at betonline.ag. They've also got some fresh odds on Offensive Rookie of the Year. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, second, tied with Trey Lance. Kind of like Zach Wilson at 7-1. Kyle Pitts, 11-1 on the defensive side for Rookie of the Year next season. Micah Parsons leads that at 4-1. Jalen Phillips, 7-1. J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain at 10-1, along with Zaven Collins and the second rounder, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, one of the steals of the draft, in my opinion, 12-1 odds. NBA, NHL, Major League, Baseball, Table Games, Poker. All you got to do to get involved in the action is head to the website at betonline.ag or the mobile app. Use promo code LOCKEDON when signing up to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Hey, NFL fans, listen up. Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231-231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofit, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape absolutely free. And if you're over 40, don't let age get in the way. Get your edge back with Nugenix. Text the word DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply. The Indianapolis Colts, Matt, surprised a lot of people in round one, passing on Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle, to select Quiddy Pay, the edge rusher from Michigan. They had big love for Deo Odebingo. I'm usually good
Not
at the
bad.
Names. I think I got that one wrong. But coming off an injury, 6'5", 285 defensive end out of Vanderbilt, a player I really liked, and it was hard to place him pre-draft. And hearing them talk about him after the game, they really liked him in the front office of the Colts. And Chris Ballard was like, this is the guy I was looking at pick 21 when I first started looking at his tape. An athletic tight end in Kylan Granson out of SMU, similar to Brevin Jordan-style player. They did pick up a quarterback in Sam Ellinger. What do you think about this draft overall for the Indianapolis Colts?
I'm not a big draft grade guy. I think it's one of the dumber exercises that we all do. This one would be low for me, though. Like, if I had to dish him out, this would be near the bottom. I understand the allure with Quiddy Pay, and he may fit in great. And I understand that Deo is a really good prospect. But he's got an Achilles. I mean, he tore his Achilles recently. I don't think he's a play at all this year. And you go back-to-back edge with no third-round pick. And where I'm going with this is, where's the tackle? You know, I mean, I think that there were so many tackles that they passed on. I can't believe that they didn't land somebody. I mean, at least a tackle prospect. I mean, I know they've talked a little bit to Eric Fisher. I mean, maybe they have that worked out that whenever he's ready, they'll just plug him in. If so, this makes a lot more sense. But, you know, without a third-round pick and no tackle, and you've seen how Wentz has handled pressure the last couple of years, I don't like that.
Don't love that. Pay is fine at pick 21. Thought that was a good spot for him. And I agree, Deo in round two, I thought he was going to be a an early day three guy where everyone reshuffles their boards and are like, look, I know he's got the Achilles. There's a chance maybe he's not as explosive after that injury. What's he going to look like when he comes back from it? Round two seems a little high with some of the other needs they had to go back-to-back defensive linemen like that.
That's what I thought, especially without a third-round pick. You know, and you might not have a first next year.
And Kylan Granson is a solid prospect. I like him as a day three tight end, very athletic. But then again, like Brevin Jordan was still on the board, so there's a number of ways you could have gone there. I don't think they got huge value with the rest of their selections. Sean Davis, Sam Ehlinger is going to hold a clipboard, in my opinion, in the NFL. They got a wide receiver out of Charleston that I did never watch, so I can't really comment on him too much. But yeah, nothing
Michael
really stands
Strahan.
Out on. Yeah, the yeah, they got. It's like, well, his name kind of looks like Mike Strahan. Let's see if he can rush the passer a little bit. So yeah, nothing really stands out to me from their day three drafts either.
I mean, I know it's a 218th pick in the draft, but Sam Ehlinger, come on. I mean, you just took Eason last year and you just took Wentz. He can't throw. I mean, I don't like that pick at all. I'm fine with Davis, safety. You mentioned Granson. He's their type of tight end. I mean, he's, the smaller move guy. He's like 235 pounds. Might line in up at the backfield at times. Traditional H-back type. Fine, but I want to tackle. And I didn't love this draft.
They better hit on Kwity-Paye, and Deo has to show up healthy and look like the guy he was. Then I think you could start to give this draft good grades when we look back at it in a couple of years. But if those don't hit, then I think this one could be a bit of a head scratcher. And I agree with you. And look, draft grades are pointless right now. We don't know for a while, but just, versus what they could have done, you have to at least look at it in a certain way. We're breaking this stuff down, and sometimes we're right about it. Sometimes teams are right about it. It doesn't feel like the best use of resources for the Colts versus what some other teams did.
And I've been really impressed with their front office lately. Yes. I love that they accumulate second-round picks. DeForest Buckner was an obvious grab that made sense. I'm in on Wentz, for what they paid. This, I think, set him back a little. And this, Deo might be great. But you have them for 4 years, and one of them's already out the door, and that was the second-round pick.
Yeah, and how much better did they make themselves? Kwity-Paye has to hit the ground running and be a beast of a rusher in year one, or else they're not going to be better.
Right, exactly.
Jacksonville Jaguars, we're going to have to break this conversation up after their couple of first-round picks, because they had a lot of draft picks, and I think there's a lot to get into, especially later in the draft for them. But let's start with Trevor Lawrence 1, Travis Etienne at pick number 25. Their two first-round picks, teammates from Clemson. Is there more championships in those two players' future like there was in the college level?
Not soon. we don't have to talk about Lawrence. He's awesome. I'm on board. He's phenomenal. He can right a lot of ships. He will raise a lot of boats, all those cliches or whatever.
Think there was a lack of scrutiny just because it was such a foregone conclusion that he was the number one guy?
I assume, yeah. The Clemson back-to-back thing, I kind of have my roommate philosophy that it's good to bring in two guys from the same school, room them together, and this is sort of a lesser version of Ja'Marr Chase and Burrow or Tua and Waddle or, the Philadelphia situation. Get a weapon he trusts, and ATN's a really good receiver. 25, to your usual point about running backs going to, first round, I don't think he's an every down guy. I think he's closer to Eckler than he is to McCaffrey or Kamara. So that's a little early for me.
The question is he going to be a dynamo in the passing game and continue to develop that at the next level? Because then you can start to talk me into it, because he is an explosive player. And maybe he's big. I think maybe you're not giving him enough credit for what he could be as a true number one running back and an explosive player. Yeah. Again, I'm not into it with a round one pick. I think there's a number of other things. When you have a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, when you have their roster, there's a number of more impactful positions you could draft that help you win games more. But as far as running backs go, I like Travis Etienne, and I think he is a modern running back that could really make some explosive plays and add some dynamism to that offense. But it all comes down to how much more he contributes in the passing game in the NFL than he did, especially early on in Clemson. Does he continue to develop that part of his game? Because that's where most of the value will come from, a running back versus, the rest of the field versus a replacement running back just running the football on early downs.
And he's certainly, and I overlooked that Robinson is in place, who's also only a year older, a season older. So you don't need ATN to carry the ball 30 times. Right. You know, I mean, so they will complement each other well. ATN is dreadful in pass protection, though. That's something he's going to need to pick up
on. Yeah, and so passing game, it's not just receiving, it's can you pass protect? And that's the first thing that gets you on the field is being able to pass protect. That the coach has to trust you there. With how well James Robinson played last year, too, it just seems like, man, okay, you're going to draft a running back in the first round with this rebuild? I don't love that at all.
I don't either. I don't dislike their draft overall. But you've mentioned, you know, that their GM will roll the dice on injured dudes or red flag guys, mm-hmm. you know, from his Niner days. Walker Little's played one game in 2 years, and Andre Sisco's coming off a knee. But, you know, I think Little's healthy. Haven't seen him in a while.
Right, because there was an opt-out, too, with that. You know what? Let's hold off on that. Let's talk a little bit more about those second, third, fourth, fifth-round picks, the ACLs. What's going on with Trent Baalke and Urban Meyer here in their first draft for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then we'll talk Tennessee Titans as well next. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited-time flavor like jalapeno? Recently, if you find that one, give it a shot. I was pleasantly surprised. Coconut almond, peanut butter's my favorite, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, raspberry, some of the classic flavors there, and they're filtering through new flavors all the time. Something for everyone. And as we know from the Built Bar bracket, some passionate fans about their favorite flavors. Not only are Built Bar the best tasting protein bars on the market, they're healthy too. We're talking 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of net carbs, and 4 grams of sugar. You can find a flavor that satisfies you, or build your own box of Built Bars and use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. I actually really like the Tyson Campbell pick to start round 2, Matt, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think he's even better than his teammate who went in round 1. I think he's got height, weight, speed. I think he's got some ability to man up. He can play some zone. So some versatility there for Tyson Campbell and fits, you know, a length profile that I know Trent Baalke likes a lot. But 49ers fans know and love. And there was a lot of banter going around on draft weekend with 49ers fans and Jacksonville Jaguars fans. And the Jaguars fans were like, what's up with the ACLs? Walker Little coming off an ACL, missed a full season. So he hasn't played in, 2 years, right? Because he had the ACL.
One game in the last 2 years.
Then he had the opt-out. But he was a high-level player when he was playing. So we'll see if maybe even that was a steal. And he should have been a first-round guy if he would have played. But again, Baalke loves the ACLs. Andre Sisco, safety from Syracuse, coming off an ACL. And then they also picked up Dylan Moses as an undrafted free agent who's got the ACL pick. So, yeah, that was Jaguars fans were looking at that draft with a little side eye. It's like, what are we in store here with this regime? Because you don't know. You got your head coach coming from the college level. And if it wasn't for Trevor Lawrence, I'd look at this draft and I would be side-eyeing it as well.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, all of a sudden they have corners now. You know, drafted C.J. Henderson early last year. You know, they're loaded at the corner position. That's a good place to start on defense. And they do have some pass rushers. Little doesn't really need to play this year because they inherited Robinson, franchised him, but probably won't bring him back next year. But that's one game in 3 years if he doesn't play. It's kind of the Trey Lance conversation you and I have a lot. Sisco was one of the only true deep post center field safeties in this class. So I get it. You know, and there's a premium on that. This defense wants a high middle fielder, you know, type of guy. And I think Jordan Smith's a good risk in the fourth round as an edge rusher to pair with Chaisson and Allen and some of their other young pass rushers. Farrell's just a blocking tight end.
When you look at the skill positions now on offense, though, in Jacksonville, this could be a fun team. Trevor Lawrence, you got James Robinson and ATN at running back. Then you've got DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault, the second rounder from last year. They brought in Marvin Jones as a free agent, give you a little deep threat. They got some more speed in Philip Dorsett and, you know, some other players competing there. But just the top five or so playmakers on offense to go with that young quarterback, I mean, they might be behind in some games, and they might give you some fantasy production because they might have to chuck it a lot late. But you also don't want to get your quarterback killed like Joe Burrow was last year, coming from behind and throwing the ball too much.
Yeah, and I think their O-line is acceptable, is fine. They don't have a tight end. I think they were in on Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. I mean, they would have – they tried. That's probably going to be something for next year. But it's not a bad landing spot for Lawrence to, you know, stay upright and, you know, move the football.
Going to Urban – one of Urban Meyer's own there at Ohio State with the tight end, by the way, Luke Farrell. I wonder if he's got a shot to sneak in there and start some games. I don't think he's a, you know, a high-end – tight end
tough
prospect
guy
as a fifth rounder, but 6'6", 251, and Urban Meyer obviously loved him, so that's why they tabbed him, and he's probably going to roll in at least as the backup and could probably be a starter by the end of the year. Who knows?
He could. Really good blocker. You know, wasn't used a ton at Ohio State, so worth the risk.
Tennessee Titans. What are we thinking about this Tennessee Titans draft, Matt? We've got first rounder, Caleb Farley, coming off an ACL. We talked about how Jeffrey Simmons had a similar profile, just, you know, a supreme athlete that you were going to have to hold on and maybe pray a little bit, cross your fingers that they're ready to go for Caleb Farley. It's a back injury. He was also an opt-out last year. I think it was an ACL, right, with Jeffrey Simmons a couple years ago, and it turned out pretty well for Jeffrey Simmons. So the talent was there. Was that enough of a discount at 22 to draft Caleb Farley for you?
I guess. I mean, I hate talking about injuries and backs or something that can never go away, but it seems like a logical risk for such a talented player. I think without question, the Titans' number one offseason priority was reshaping their pass defense, pass rush, and pass coverage players. I think that this draft, you know, put the final nail in that, you know, and Farley can be a star potentially, but they also are pretty decent at corner now that if he is in and out of the lineup, I think they can weather that storm a little, partially because their third-round pick, Elijah Molden, I know he's small and he didn't test well, but he's going to start in the slot immediately and be a good football player. I think that was one of my favorite picks in the entire draft.
Yeah, he's a flat-out football player. He's a baller. He's a playmaker. The toughness, he'll mix right in and compete early. And people were talking about him early in the second round. That's how fun it is to watch him and how good his tape was. But that would have been too early for me just because he's too small and slow. Bad combo, right? But then we start talking about the very end of round three. That was a comp pick in round three. So, you know, over, I think it was pick 100 and something. Then you start to talk about some value there with Elijah Molden. So I did like that pick quite a bit. And I was a big fan of Dylan Radins. I think that's a starting offensive lineman that they got late in round two. So that's a fantastic one out of North Dakota State. I like Dylan Radins. He could play guard. He could play either tackle spot probably in the NFL. And I wouldn't shock me if he's a long-term starting left tackle even. That, I think he's got that kind of talent. You know, maybe not a high-level starter, but rock-solid pick there. So if Caleb Farley hits, this draft starts to look really well. And if he's playing and he's healthy and he's able to – like, this is one of those that you only have to wait 3 years. If Caleb Farley's healthy enough to start training camp on time and, you know, and start the season, then I think this is the best draft in the division, but that's a big if still.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, we'll see how much he plays. Is he in and out of the lineup his whole career? You know, but you're right. If he's out there in the preseason running around looking good, tremendous. Mentioned Radins. I like that pick a lot, too, because they flat out blew their first-round pick last year in Isaiah Wilson at tackle. So now they're going to make up for it, and it didn't cost them a first-round pick to do it. And then Monty Rice is a solid pick in the third, too. They did not pick up Evans' fifth-year option, the Bama dude they drafted in the first round a couple years ago. So, you know, I would imagine Rice will slide in for him in the meantime and or, you know, next year. But my big complaint, though, no receivers that I liked. I mean, the great receiver draft, I would have liked to seen him grab a receiver besides Dez Fitzpatrick and Racy McMath.
Yeah, Racy McMath, who I thought was a fake player when I first saw that name come through.
He does not like a fake player.
It's like a Madden-generated name. Dez Fitzpatrick is, you know, fine, but not somebody who really jumped out to me.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, has some size, and this was a draft that didn't have a lot of size in it, and both of those players are 6'2 plus at wide receiver, so maybe that's what they were looking for, is they just wanted some size out there, and this wasn't a great draft for size at wide receiver. And when I say that this could be one of my favorite drafts in the division, obviously the Jacksonville Jaguars getting Trevor Lawrence number one, that's the best draft in this division, and I would trade maybe every pick from every other team in the division just for
right,
Trevor Lawrence, right?
Right?
That's how impactful Lawrence could be if he is the guy that everyone thinks he is, and, you know, quote unquote generational quarterback. So and you know, ATN's going to be a dynamic running back in the NFL. I have no doubt about that. So, you know, value-wise, I'm talking here where these teams started, but obviously the big draft here was the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence, and that's going to be so key for that franchise. And if Trevor Lawrence isn't the dude. You know, I don't even want to go there for Jacksonville Jaguars fans. They're in a glow, I'm sure, of having this. Bad. You know, let's enjoy this for the Jaguars. They could be a very good team for a long time.
I don't know who the favorite is in this division. I mean, I think it's not Houston. I know that. I think it's still Tennessee and Indy, but I'm not doing cartwheels over them as being big time contenders. Last note on the Titans draft. To their credit, you know, they had an extra third, an extra fourth, and then they had 2 6-round picks, but I think both those guys might be made up Madden guys. Racy McMath, and then with the 215th pick, Brady Breeze.
I love Brady Breeze. I wish he was a quarterback, man.
Yeah, easy breezy.
His middle name, like Montana or Manning or something like that. Love that, Brady.
Yeah, they
Breeze.
Both might be made up people.
Yeah, those are fantastic names. Having fun there at the end of the draft. Big winner, Urban Meyer. He ain't no dummy. That was a nice pick for him to be like, you know what? I'm going to go in my retirement here, jump into the NFL. Let's see. Oh, Trevor Lawrence, first pick in the draft, Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, let's take that job and see how this goes in the NFL.
Go from there, yeah.
It's not a bad
And the
start.
Division doesn't look bad. There's no Mahomes or Herbert or, you know, I mean.
True.
You have the biggest asset in the division, especially with the Watson situation being so up in the air. But, yeah, I mean, if you could repick that whole division, everyone wants Trevor Lawrence more than anything else by a bazillion.
By quite a lot, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Good stuff. That is the AFC South. We will continue with the NFC South next week after a little mailbag show. So get those questions into Matt and I for Tuesday's show, no Monday show next week, at BD Peacock, at Williamson NFL. And we'll talk to you then right here, Peacock and Williamson.